Okay, we're ready to start our next talk from Alexander on finite element analysis. So please welcome Alexander.
Good afternoon. My name is Alexander Dubas, and I'm from the United Kingdom Atomic Energy Authority, and I'm giving a talk on selecting a finite element analysis backend for exascale fusion reactor simulations. First of all, if you're not familiar, I'm going to give you a brief introduction to fusion and the challenges behind it. Simply put, we take two isotopes of hydrogen, smash them together, and we get some helium, a neutron, and lots of energy out. So we take the two isotopes we use typically are deuterium and tritium. Deuterium is a naturally occurring isotope that's in everybody here, in all the seawater, and it's thoroughly abundant on Earth. Tritium is less abundant, but with a fusion reactor that's well designed, you can breed your very own fuel inside your reactor. The energy distribution mostly comes out in this neutron here, and I'll come back to that later. It's about 80% of the energy. So how do you do fusion? Well, you need to generate a plasma first to get your nuclei free of their electron shielding, and we do this by magnetically confining it in a set of magnetic fields, which have a set of coils, an inner coil, poloidal and toroidal field coils, which both confine and shape the plasma. In most fusion reactor designs, these are superconductors. It's debatable as to whether the high temperature superconductors will work or low temperature superconductors. But currently in progress, being built in the south of France, is ITER. This one does use superconducting magnets, and you can see the plasma chamber in the middle of this picture here. This is an international collaboration, and its aim is to ultimately prove that we can get more energy out of fusion than we put in. It roughly costs, and it's not finished yet, so there are no actual figures, but it's in the order of £20 billion. Now, this is rather expensive, so it would be nice if we could simulate this inside a computer and know it's going to work before we actually invest in building a large building and spending a lot of money. So, how do we simulate it? Well, it turns out it's actually quite challenging. First of all, we need to capture the energy from these fast neutrons, so we need neutronic simulations. And because it's magnetically confined, it's electromagnetic simulations. Obviously, the magnets are going to maybe induce some structural deflections, as well as the weight of the machine itself, so that's going to deflect that, and that's going to change your neutronic simulations. And you want, generally, to get the heat out of your system, so we need thermal simulations, and then we don't want all the heat to stay in one place, so we use fluid simulations to extract it, and so this is a highly connected multi-physics problem. So there are two ways of approaching the multi-physics issue. One is a single tightly coupled simulation, so you have one single executable solving a large linear system with all the physics involved. Now, this ensures that you're capturing all your strongly coupled phenomena, but it's numerically challenging to build this, and some say it's not even possible. The alternative is you take your best-in-class solvers for each of your independent physics and you couple them with a third-party library. This is an easier method, so you're guaranteed the best performance for each individual class of physics, and it's easy to decouple the ones you don't need for your current simulation, but the temporal accuracy may suffer and you might not capture strongly coupled physics if you get it wrong. So the approach we're focusing on in our current work is looking at a single tightly coupled simulation using finite elements, and so we need to select a back end to build our finite elements simulation on. Now, we need to select this finite element backend in an objective fashion, rather than going, oh, I know how to use this one, let's just use that because it's my favorite and my mate works on it. So I'm presenting today our objective method, which includes a lot of subjectivity, but we'll get to that. So how do you define a set of objective criteria to benchmark your finite element libraries? Well, for one, to simulate a fusion reactor is going to require somewhere in the order of an exascale machine. So it's an exascale simulation, and it has to be designed as a parallel code from the outset. You're not going to reach the performance required without a parallel-first approach, and therefore, parallel-first is our first criterion. The second criterion, so we need to be able to run on whatever computing resources we have available, which could be anywhere in the world, especially with the cloud, including locations without internet access on your batch nodes. Could be any number of processors. So you need to have one a license that will scale to any number of processors that you want to use. And ideally, we want to be able to permit extension and modification. So naturally, this would lead you to an open source license. Except, not necessarily. Theoretically, you could license software that is both permissive and proprietary, but no one's that brave. So another problem, there are no exascale machines yet. So what does it look like? It could be a multitude of highly vectorized CPUs. It could be a mixture of OpenMP and MPI, so shared and distributed memory paradigms. It could be solely GPU or heavily GPU. So one of the criteria is to have a very portable library that supports a variety of architectures. One of our criteria also is that we want to be able to add to our back end if we need to, and so it has to be open to external contribution, so that's permission, and also we have to be able to add to it easily and not waste time, so that generally requires that we follow good software engineering practices. So finally, our main criterion is it has to be well supported, including a good community around it, forums where questions are answered, mailing lists or IRC rooms, workshops and tutorials, and good documentation both for developers and for users, which are slightly different. Now, there are also some implicit criteria. One is that it's a compiled language that we need. Interpreted languages are getting very good, but they still incur an overhead. We did benchmark Phoenix against its C++ backend Dolphin, and performance was nearly identical apart from extra memory overhead of the Python interpreter. And when you scaled it up to 1 million processes, you're then using 80 terabytes of memory just in Python processes. The other implicit criteria is it's got to be production ready, so to speak. It's got to have a stable API, or at least the developers need to express that it's confident. So we set a criteria of having a minimum version number of 1, which is somewhat arbitrary, but it's a way of ruling out libraries that aren't ready for use yet. And the other criteria, it has to be to be actively supported, it has to be actively developed, and so we excluded anything with no development in the past 6 months. And you'd be surprised how many libraries there are, well, you might not be surprised, how many libraries there are that are effectively in the finite element graveyard. So our initial survey found 35 potential candidate libraries, And we went through and eliminated those that weren't parallel first, the ones that were in early development, or listed as alpha or beta, that were poorly supported, inextensible, both from permission or from poor software practices, and those that were abandoned. And we came up with a short list of deal 2, which you might have seen the talk yesterday, June, Dolphin, Libmesh, MFEM, Moose, and Nectar++. Now, obviously, some subjective criteria were included, and if you did this same process today, you would get a slightly different set of results as more libraries have matured. So, how have we measured the performance? Well, I've leveled up from solving the Laplace equation on a unit square, and I'm solving the Poisson equation on a unit cube. And to also measure when there's a little bit more CPU work, the time-dependent heat equation was also measured. The mesh was a unit cube, generated in Gmesh, as having an open source mesher helps. But this led to one slight problem. We couldn't get the mesh into DL2, which is rather unfortunate because it seems like a very good library. And if you're in the talk yesterday, the claims that it scales and performs better than commercial packages is corroborated by our results, but we can't present them in comparison because the same mesh wasn't used. We also measured the memory usage because that's quite important when you have a limited amount of memory. And at this stage, we had to eliminate Nectar++, which uses rather a lot of memory, partly because it didn't solve with piecewise linear elements, so we had to use quadratic elements, and thus we couldn't get the memory down to a reasonable level. Onto the scaling. We measured performance scaling up to 1,000 cores. Obviously, with strong scaling, it dropped off as our problem size here, and this seems to suggest that Dolphin is the best library, right? With Moose in second place and the rest below it. However, looking into this a slightly more in depth, it turns out a lot of time was spent using the mesh importer, and we're not trying to measure how good the mesh importer is. We want to know how well it solves. So we looked at the solver scaling instead. And so this gave a different set of results, with June appearing to scale very well, MFEM and Dolphin being roughly on a par, and Libmesh not scaling so great. Moose isn't included in these results because we couldn't get the solver directly comparable solver timings out of Moose. However, it's not just about scalability, it's also about how quick it is. So June seemed to scale very well, but it took too long, and it never reached the same speed levels. So MFEM and Libmesh were both really fast. Dolphin and Moose scaled well, but were a bit slower. Maybe they overtake further down. They don't. And so that's the performance side of things. Honorable mentions, I would say MFEM had a very, very nice build process. It took literally half an hour to set it up on whichever machine I wanted to. And Moose has a very nice multi-physics coupling design to allow arbitrary physics coupling. So, which one's the best? There wasn't a clear winner. The various libraries seem to sit on a Pareto front between performance and usability. So, to pick a winner, some advanced maths of essentially weighting their performance and their quality to try and give an objective ranking to their assessment. And we scored them on their quality on a basis of their installation, so how easy it was to build both on this laptop and on our supercomputer, how usable it was, so how easy it was for a user to get the simulations that they want, their documentation, which is very important, especially when you're trying to learn and evaluate a finite element library in a week. And we eventually came up with a few answers. Obviously, the best library for what you get depends how you weight these equations. So if you look at pure performance, for example, if you're going to exascale, performance really matters. MFEM would be the best one according to our results. And when your simulations cost about £1,000 a minute, I think, roughly at the exascale, your developer time becomes cheap again. And having well-documented, easy-to-use, portable build processes, obviously very important. User interaction was important. And being able to support common open formats, so those that couldn't import the GMesh 1 files were excluded. And good tutorials, examples, and source comments. I believe that's all I have to say. Any questions?
So you discounted anything that's not compiled like from the start without, I think, much consideration, as far as I could tell. And I wonder why that was and if you had actually done any benchmarking.
On which ones?
Anything that had compiled, that was using Python, for instance, like anything that wasn't compiled.
So we did do some benchmarking. Yeah. So you asked, we discounted anything with an interpreted language like Python, and asked if did we do any benchmarking, and we did. So we did measure Phoenix against Dolphin, and in terms of scalability and performance, it was almost identical because it calls the C++ backend. But there is this, the memory overhead is the main difference there.
So this, you used a. This is like a first-order mesh? Did you try anything with... I don't know how many of the solvers support higher order, but did you try any higher order solves? Because that's really where MFEM was designed to shine, is for like curved meshes and stuff that would use your GPU better.
So. We didn't try high-order meshes in this because implementing it in the various different libraries becomes a lot more of an involved process, which is also why we didn't look at more involved equations for every single library. But yes, I agree, MFEM does shine there.
Yeah, it's a bit in the same line. I mean, the thing you want to simulate is, from a physics point of view, extremely challenging, as you said. And as a test case, you take two very, very, very simple things. Do you think that actually is even representative for the thing you actually want to simulate? Because they might shine very well in these simple problems and completely miserably fail in the thing you actually want to solve.
That is correct, and it is a potential flaw. However, without in implementing a full multi-physics solver in every single backend, we chose a standard benchmark that we could definitely implement in every library.
And do you actually even think we have codes at this point that can actually do that at exascale level?
No.
Because I would think you actually still, like, people are developing these things, and it does not yet exist.
This is the start of a large package of work to develop the simulations we need. So in terms of multi-physics, we've sort of nailed bi-physics, where you have two coupled physics, and we're starting on the multi-physics, so three coupled physics domains are sort of coming in. There's nothing I'm aware of that does everything we need to.
And just out of curiosity, what exactly do you want to simulate of the whole ether thing? You want to simulate the entire reactor, or you have specific research questions?
Ultimately, yes, we would like to simulate an entire reactor. But on the way there, there are many different components, such as the diverter and blankets, where you have a lot of physics interacting, but you don't have to scale up to the entire reactor size, and so you can use a smaller computer.
preferably before it does its first run.
Yeah.
So here we're dealing with multiphysics. Why only considering finite elements?
In terms of building a single solver that can solve everything, I think it's probably the best discretization. I don't have any evidence to back that up necessarily. It's conjecture, I agree. But it seems the best way to be able to implement all the physics that you need. Whereas I would agree if you were to do, say, a multiple coupled solvers, then you would look at other types of simulation.
Hi, thank you for the very nice talk. Is the problem you're trying to solve sensitive to numerical accuracy or instability, and did you try to assess those libraries on this problem?
We looked at, so part of the reason for using the Poisson and time-dependent equations is that we could then have a known variable put in, and so we have a definite solution, so we can compare the error there. But in terms of further assessment, that's as far as we went.
Thank you.
Since you're really valuing the long-term sustainability of your project,
mm-hmm.
why only looking into making everything in one solver and not go with a partitioned way, for example? Because the performance is not necessarily the answer here.
That seemed like two questions. Which would you like me to answer?
Let's start from the first one.
So can you repeat the first one?
Yes, so why really trying to pick one of the... while you have so different applications, why really try to pick one of the libraries for everything and not follow the partitioned way, that then you could have sustainability in the long term?
So the work I'm presenting here is based on looking at that one approach. We are also looking into the coupled approach. So we are covering both bases there.
Yes. So for the solver part, did you use just... So you used one solver for everything, but I mean... Like MFEM has lots of solver backends, right? You can actually plug in for those different frameworks.
Yeah.
Different solvers that they're really designed to work with. So do you think your solver results would be better if you did that?
Potentially. So this is one point that I'd possibly like to make, in that we tended to follow what was recommended in tutorials and available documentation for each package. So we picked whichever solver was recommended for it, which is more a question of, does the library set sensible defaults or advise sensible things for performance?
Well, I was going to ask the same question, but I have actually another one, and I would maybe just quickly say that, like, I think there are many problems where, like, you just cannot, like, the library cannot set the defaults because the problem is very specific and it requires domain knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But my actual question is, like, I want to... suggest you again to maybe reevaluate your position on non-compiled languages, because are you familiar with FireDrake?
Sorry.
Are you familiar with FireDrake?
Oh, I've heard of FireDrake. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm the original author of FireDrake, and mm-hmm. in my PhD I actually did. So it's an API compatible implementation of Dolphin or Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And we generate code for the entire solver at runtime, and I benchmarked up to 1,536 cores in my PhD thesis, which was like 5-6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to beat every other package easy. And
that's a bold claim.
Well, every other package. Well, I was able to beat the Dolphin, mm-hmm. also the C++ version in terms of performance, and like I wasn't. We weren't running into memory issues, so like, just as another notch,
yeah,
maybe.
The memory issues is then a scaling thing. So if you're only running single core with only one interpreter, it's a tiny amount of memory. So it only really becomes a scaling problem when you have multiple processes. Again, this comes back to, we don't know what exascale looks like. If it's fewer processes with lots of GPU dispatch, then perhaps the memory overhead of running an interpreter isn't an issue as much as it would be if you run fully on multiple processes on CPUs.
Thanks.
Sorry, we're out of time. You'll have to meet the speaker after. Thank you very much. Let's thank the speaker again.